Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community.
Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to this minicast that I have titled Globalist Weather Modification Operations. Why? Well, because we're recently discovering that's right, Bill Gates in America is publicly coming out with his own geoengineering program. And at the same time, we're hearing that Russia and China are also becoming involved in ionospheric manipulation. That's right. We are living in science fiction. We are living in the science future. Now, who were you listening to prior to me? You were listening to former CIA director John Brennan talk about his affinity or his how much he likes stratospheric aerosol injections. That is exactly what they are calling the experiments. That's exactly what they're calling the chemtrails. Now, I have a few articles I'm going to go over. I don't want to make this all crazy. I just want to get to the point with this type of stuff because they're publicly declaring that they want to terraform the Earth. Now, we talked about this in one of our most recent podcast episodes, but if you guys have been paying attention to the show or you've just been looking up, you've noticed that those are not clouds. Those are streaks in the air. We are living in a crazy future. Scientists, Harvard scientists, funded by Bill Gates in 2019, will publicly begin spraying particles into the sky in the first experiment to dim the sun. And if we've been paying attention to this for a while now. I have a few other articles that we'll be getting in too in this edition. Things like what Bill Gates is doing, talking about the predicting of millions of deaths from climate change. But yet we're manipulating the weather. A New York Times article came out that suggests human extinction would not be so bad because, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing because climate change is destroying the planet. Anthropogenic climate change, our impact upon the Earth, is devastating things. This is actually said by Todd May at the New York Times. He says, our species possesses inherent value, but we are devastating the Earth and causing unmanageable animal suffering. Now, what we are beginning to see in so many different ways, and I'll talk about this and we'll get into some of these articles, what we're beginning to see is just this Earth worship. You know, I constantly ask you guys the questions of, do you think the Earth is overpopulated? Okay, or do you think the cities are overpopulated? You see, these are two different things. And then it gets into a whole discussion about going off Earth and in the inner Earth, a whole different discussions. But what eventually we were going to see is they're going to destroy the exterior world and try to put us inside of these bubbles and these smart cities, you see. And these are all in their documents, you know. I've played for you guys clips of Governor Jerry Brown talking about the devastation that climate change will have on society. How it will cause things like such as mass migration. People will be in drought-stricken areas to where they have to move to different parts of the world. This is why you see the UN wanting to create the UN Migration Pact, because they're setting the stage for the future. And it starts with things like this. HARP, weather modification. You've heard me talk about it. Post-geoengineering, post-weather modification. And for people who are unfamiliar what I mean by that, with Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, we saw the devastation that took place there, the millions of dollars of damage. And then we also saw what happened with the unusual fires that took place in California as well, the people that are being displaced. This is what I mean by the post-weather modification generation, or the post-weather modification time frame. You see, what happens after, we're aware that they have things such as HARP, and as I said before, ionic spheric manipulation. I'll be putting a link in the description bar for you people right here. An extensive list of patents that talk about spraying the atmosphere. These aren't, again, the stratospheric aerosol injections, but this is what basically led up to it. This was an article by Edward Morgan of Prepare for Change. They put this together August 14th, and you can literally see the patents that go back to 1891. And like I said, you guys can download this or look at them. I'll put this link, like I said, in the description bar below, as well as in our website. So whenever you guys check out the episode article at our website, you can see it there as well. And right next to it, we have a unclassified document. If you guys have the time, please print out this 190-page unclassified document that talks about basically space-based weaponry. Air Force Special Weapons Center. It's done out here in New Mexico, out there in Kirtland. Lots of information available to you guys. I definitely try to make sure that it is thorough. But let me get to the point. Let's get this on record. That in 2019, Bill Gates and Harvard scientists are going to, indeed, I think, sulfur dioxide or sodium dioxide? I forget what it is, but we'll go over it in this article. And this is from the Free Thought Project by Matt Agarist. It says, in 2019, scientists funded by Bill Gates to spray particles into the sky in the first public experiment to dim the sun. The controversial subject of geoengineering, weather modification, which is popularized and oversimplified with the term chemtrails, is once again stepping into the shadows and into the light of public scrutiny. And it may soon be a reality as scientists plan the first ever experiment to spray particles in the sky to dim the sun. What was once a conspiracy theory is now a subject of congressional debate, peer-reviewed studies, and now a Harvard experiment. Harvard scientists will attempt to replicate climate cooling effects of volcanic eruptions, just as CIA Director John Brennan said a few years ago, with a world-first solar geoengineering experiment set for early 2019. Again, what was once a conspiracy theory will now be a reality. Known as Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment, SCOPEX, the experiment will spray carbon or calcium carbonate particles high above the Earth to mimic the effects of volcanic ash, blocking out the sun to produce a cooling effect. The experiment was announced in Nature magazine last month, who was one of the few outlets to look into this unprecedented step towards geoengineering the planet. If all goes planned, the Harvard team will be the first in the world to move solar geoengineering out of the lab and into the stratosphere, with a project called Stratospheric Controlled Perturbation Experiment, SCOPEX. The first is a $3 million test involving two flights of a steerable balloon 20 kilometers above the southwest United States, and it could launch as early as the first half of 2019. Once it's in place, the experiment would release small plumes of calcium carbonate, each around 100 grams, roughly relevant to the amount found in an average bottle of off-the-shelf antacid. The balloon would then turn around and observe the particles disperse. Naturally, the experiment is concerning to many people, including the environmental groups who, according to Nature, who say such efforts are dangerous distraction from addressing the permanent solution to climate change, reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And so now we're getting to the whole debate about what are actual solutions to climate change, greenhouse gas emissions, anthropogenic climate change, our effects upon the Earth. I didn't get around to posting this, but the next question of the day will be, and I hope that you guys have a good response to this, what is a sustainable lifestyle? Because this is something that they're going to start asking us in the future. They're going to start condemning your life, your lifestyle, your patterns, what you do, what you buy, what your habits are. All of these things will be considered up for grabs, so to speak. If you're not trying to help fight climate change, you don't care about the Earth, you see? And this is where, again, we'll have these eco-fascists that tell you you're a cancer upon the Earth. We've gone over it time and time again, but I want to play for you guys real quick the History Channel talking about HAARP, and then we'll get into how China and Russia are working together to do just that, to work on ionospheric weather manipulations. If for people who are curious as to what HAARP is, it stands for High Frequency Active Research Program. And basically, they're shooting ELF waves into the sky. And we'll go over this in this week's podcast episode, but they're shooting waves, frequencies into the sky to manipulate the ionosphere. But don't hear it from me. Let's hear it from the History Channel.
HAARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, originally a joint effort of the Air Force and Navy in cooperation with a number of academic institutions.
It is today the world's largest radio broadcasting station, but it's not designed to broadcast for human ears. It uses unique patented ability to focus the energy coming out of the antenna field and injects that energy into a spot at the very top of the atmosphere in a region called the ionosphere.
HAARP is comprised of 180 antennas, approximately 72 feet tall, linked together to function as one giant steerable antenna. Steerable because it can aim millions of watts of ELF waves into one tiny patch of the atmosphere.
The amount of energy we're talking about here is 3.6 million watts. To give you an idea of what that is, the largest legal AM radio station in North America, HAARP.
Makes me start thinking about what a Native American rain dance was and how they were able to figure out those kinds of secrets. Really, really makes you wonder. But let's get into this article. It's from the Activist Post. They put this up December 19th. It says China and Russia are working together on ionospheric weather manipulations. The South China Morning Post of December 17, 2018, not only let, quote, the cat out of the bag, but also, quote, opened up a can of worms with regards to militaries wanting to control the ionosphere for decades. The militaries have been in a race to control the ionosphere for decades. It seems China has been cooperating with other country scientists regarding ionospheric manipulation, the latest being with Russia, according to the South China Morning Post. A June 2018 test caused a physical disturbance of over 49,000 square miles. However, Russia has been into ionospheric manipulations since the 1980s. The Sura base in Vasyurylek, which is in Russia, is believed to be the world's first large-scale facility built for the purpose. Up and running in 1981, it enabled Soviet scientists to manipulate the sky as an instrument for military operations, such as submarine communication. The Sura facility has also conducted joint research with France and the United States, according to the papers published in academic journals. So when did the United States come on board with ionospheric manipulation? The U.S. military learned from the Russian experiment and built a much larger facility to conduct similar tests. And it's called, guess what? HAARP. The construction of HAARP began in 1993, and so I'm not going to go into all kinds of details about that. I'm going to pull up the article that goes into more about Russia and China getting involved in these types of things, because that is important. We're talking about the globalization. We're talking about the rise in communism. We're talking about all of these world powers working together in what I would consider is the space race. The weaponization of space. You know, you have to have all these kinds of different things, but I digress. Let's get into this article right here. It is from the Drudge Report feed. They put this up December 17th. It says China and Russia band together to experiments to modify the atmosphere. And going into it, it says China and Russia have modified an important layer of the atmosphere above Europe to test a controversial technology for possible military application, according to the Chinese scientists involved in the project. A total of five experiments were carried out in June. One, on June 7th, caused that disturbance that we were talking about earlier, the 49,000 square miles, which is about half the size of Britain. The modified zone, looming more than 3.10 miles over the Vasyurylek base, over Vasyurylek, a small Russian town in the Eastern Europe, experienced an electrical spike with 10 times more negatively charged subatomic particles than surrounding regions. And then in another experiment, on June 12th, the temperature of the thin ionized gas in the high altitude increased more than 100 degrees Celsius, which is 212 degrees Fahrenheit, because of the particle flux. The particles, or electrons, were pumped into the sky by Sura, an atmospheric heating facility in Vasyurylek, built by the former Soviet Union's military during the Cold War. The Sura base fired up an array of high-power antennas and injected a large amount of microwaves into the atmosphere. The peak power of the high-frequency radio waves could reach 260 megawatts, enough to light up a small city. And so then they go on to tell you, you know, more about what they're trying to do. This is, as I said before, the weaponization of space. This is HARP. This is them trying to have total geospatial domination. You see, and whenever anyone tries to talk about climate change or global warming or greenhouse gas emissions, this is now being injected into the discussion. These are not just conspiracy theories. I try to lay these things out for you guys in such a factual way that you can point this out to anyone, and if they try to fight you on it, well, bring up the documents. Bring up the tests. You see, what we're talking about now, where we're going to go in the future, is because they can't really move people from, they can't move people in these massive areas. Their whole idea is to try to stave off the environmental effects on these mega centers, on these domains, these human domains, where people are just going to be basically kept. You see, this is where they're trying to get people off of rural areas and get us closer into the cities. And how do they do that? Well, they weaponize the environment. They start modifying the atmosphere, modifying the ionosphere, doing all kinds of different things. And this is very important. You see, and we have to get all this stuff on record because it's important for whenever it goes bad. Because, unfortunately, I feel like it will. But to kind of pivot to the next article, we mentioned this at the start of the minicast, but right here, this New York Times article that suggests human extinction would not be a bad thing because climate change is destroying the planet. Now, again, we just went over how these people are manipulating the weather, modifying the environment, and there's patents that go back to the 1800s. But now they're saying human extinction wouldn't be so bad because climate change, what they're doing, is destroying the planet. We put this up December 18th. It's by Michael Snyder of the Freedom Outpost. And I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but I just want to kind of get the gist of this on here for the record so we can, again, address this. The idea is that we are a cancer upon the very planet that gave us life. And now, these controlling people who have this anti-human agenda wish to exterminate us. Continuing on, it says, would our planet be better off if humanity ceased to exist? That is a quite morbid question, but today an increasing number of intellectuals are bringing it up because they are convinced that we are the source of everything that is wrong with our world. According to these zealots, humans are the primary source of climate change, and if we do not alter our course, the planet will be destroyed. But since humanity apparently lacks the will to end the behaviors which are destroying the planet, many of them also believe that it would be a good thing if we were to be completely wiped out somehow. Most normal people would never think this way, but these are the sorts of discussions that the intellectuals and elitists are now having all the time. And sometimes, this bleeds over into the mainstream media. For example, this New York Times article published the New York Times just published a very long article by Clemson University professor of philosophy Todd May entitled, "Would Human Extinction Be a Tragedy?" The following is a brief excerpt from that article. We'll read this, and then, again, we'll go on to how these globalists think and how this literally replicates into today. To make that case, let me start with a claim that I think will be at once depressing and, upon reflection, uncontroversial. Human beings are destroying large parts of the inhabitable Earth and causing unimaginable suffering to many of the animals that inhabit it. This is happening through at least three means. First, human contribution to climate change is devastating ecosystems, and the recent article on Yellowstone Park in the Times exemplifies. Second, increasing human population is encroaching on ecosystems that would otherwise be intact. Third, factory farming fosters the creation of millions upon millions of animals for whom it offers nothing but suffering and misery before slaughtering them in often barbaric ways. There is no reason to think that those practices are going to diminish anytime soon. Quite the opposite. Humanity, then, is the source of devastation of lives of conscious animals on a scale that is difficult to comprehend. The New York Times did not have to publish Professor May's article, but they did. So they must believe that this is a reasonable option. You see, and they have very logical points there. Factory farming, as we've talked about with vegans, with people who are not vegan, on the show time and time again. It's a very, very heady discussion, for sure. But this is the system that we've been brought into. What would change look like if we were to step back and try to find it? But what we're seeing right now is a complete overhaul of what we've known, what we've become basically accustomed to. This is why you have people developing fake meat. This is why you have Bayer and Monsanto getting together. Agricultural companies and pharmaceutical companies coming together. This is why they're pushing all these things. Because they want alternatives. This is why you're hearing this word of sustainable development, sustainable lifestyle. Greenhouse gas emission, carbon footprint, carbon taxes, fuel taxes, gas taxes, meat taxes. This is Agenda 21. This is the controlling of your entire life because you were born into this corrupt system. And now this system is trying to literally U-turn after creating a behemoth of a beast and condemning you for being a part of it. But check this out. Check this out right here. Bill Gates predicts millions of deaths from climate change before the century's end. So this is probably why he's investing all that money with those Harvard scientists, right? To try to save the Earth. But he's still over there working on vaccines in Africa. Let me get into this article. It's by Ricky Scaparo of End Times Headlines. We put this up December 18th. It says, Bill Gates, philanthropist and Microsoft founder, criticized the Trump administration's push to reduce the U.S.'s $30 billion foreign aid budget and praised the idea of privacy regulations on big tech as well. Quote, fortunately, the Congress took that proposal to cut the USA budget, which would have meant cutting, which would have meant cutting people off from those HIV medicines, and they decided to maintain the foreign aid levels. Gates told Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace in an interview that aired Sunday morning. The interview with Gates took place on Tuesday at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. Gates also addressed the statement by his wife, Melinda Gates, that she was disappointed about the, quote, deteriorating U.S. leadership and, quote, egregious things that have been said by this current administration. Bill Gates contended the president's America First maxim does not preclude the country's engagement in countries like Africa. This is because he's essentially using Africa as his own petri dish. He's doing all kinds of biological warfare tests over there, you see. And we've talked about this on the show as well. For people who are unfamiliar, Bill Gates' father was the head of Planned Parenthood. That's right. I didn't know that. I learned that. And this is information that I think people need to know. So when he's talking about population control in places like Africa, getting aid there, you know, you've really got to look at how these technocratic capitalists are doing this type of stuff. Okay? They call it philanthropists because, well, that's how the devil works. He comes at you as an angel of light, saying he's here to help you. He's here to help you. That's got to be like the oldest lie in the book. Hello, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. That's like the government investigating themselves and finding that they found nothing wrong. I digress. Let me. I could go off on Bill Gates, but let me get back into this article here because it's important. But continuing on, instead, he argued that the humanitarian efforts outside the U.S. fall within the broad definition of maximizing the nation's benefit. Quote, even in that narrow framework of, okay, I only care about what, how U.S. citizens do, even in that framework, these institutions, these alliances, these investments and innovation are overwhelmingly smart things to do, he said. He was referencing efforts, including those connected with working on an HIV vaccine to help stop the AIDS crisis in Africa and elsewhere. On the issue of climate change, Gates predicted that for countries like Africa, which are completely dependent on the rain coming, climate change presents a, quote, threat to survival. He also predicted, quote, millions of deaths because climate change between now and at the end of the century. He said a significant portion of that count will be in, quote, very, very poor countries because of the subsidies or the subsistence farmers. He explained that in Africa, in the past, for example, Failed harvests occur about every 12 years. With climate change, Gates predicted the harvest rate will be closer to 1 in 4. So basically what we're talking about is, again, the lives that will be impacted, how people cannot migrate and will not be able to go to certain areas to survive. You know, you got to think, how long would it take? Do you have a week's long worth of food in your pantry right now? Do you have storable food right now? You know, what happens with the people during Hurricane Harvey? You know, some of the people in California are still devastated. We're all a literal fire away from being homeless. We are a tornado away from being homeless. We are so many different environmental things away from being homeless. And that's why you have to look at, again, what these people are doing. They say climate change is going to devastate a lot of people because, yes, they are indeed destroying the climate so that they can get us in a more controllable, pacified state, culling the populations that are unable to move to different places, who are unable to develop the skills that are necessary to move forward in society. You see, what are we dealing with right now on our border? People are no longer wanting to be in Mexico, and they're migrating here. Not only because of the weather, because of the economy. Now, and this is something we're going to be talking about in the future, the population, growth, and all these other things, because this is the climate agreement. This is not the Paris climate agreement, but the global governance. This is what happens whenever you have this Green New Deal. You see, they want to have the world literally underneath a population of 500 million where it can be easily contained or easily maintained. And what we're going to see is a massive die-off. We have like 6 billion people, 8 billion people on the planet right now, right? This is why they're trying their hardest to curb the population. We talked about this in our most recent show. They want to have people sterile and all these other things. This ties into it. Everything you see us discussing here ties into it. Why do you think you have people in Belgium protesting? Why do you think you have the Yellow Vest movement? Because of the insane overhaul that is taking place, and it starts with just this: the weather, how they're manipulating it, how that's going to not only affect you, how it's going to affect your kids. When was the last time you saw a normal cloud? And now you see we're publicly talking about these chemtrails that people don't want to talk about. So now this conspiracy theory that is fact and has so many far-reaching applications, this is now our reality, and the people who ignore these types of things have become ignorant to the very reality that we find ourselves living in. Isn't that something strange? However, that's all I really have for you. This is Globalist Weather Modification Operations. And I know we could have gone on a lot longer talking about this type of information because it's important, but if people are unfamiliar with it, go watch our Terraforming Earth series. I'll put that link in the description bar below as well as the patent list from Prepare for Change that's been compiled together by Edward Morgan. It is phenomenal. It goes back all the way to, like I said, the 1800s. I'll put the link for that in the description bar below. You have to understand that this is a long-term agenda. This is like a 200-year-long agenda that was supposed to happen within like 10 years or within like 50 years. And it's because of the exposing, it's because of talking about these things, getting this information out there and talking about it, exposing these people, that we're able to stave this stuff off. And as I said before, people are going to be unwilling to look at this information. That's why we have to push it forward and think past just the conspiracy theory. This is why I say, again, post-weather modification, post-geoengineering. I'll put those hashtags as well so you guys can hear this type of stuff when I talk about it. However, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys and gals, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.